Our Father, how good you've been to us. How much you have loved us. How much you have worked in our hearts and lives. That just as we sang, we have proved it over and over. How wonderful you are. How sweet it is to trust in you. And today, Lord, I pray that we would have that grace to trust you more. And Lord, as your Spirit moves, as it works in us, that we would trust you enough to respond. That we would do what you are calling us to do. That we'd act the way that you are asking us to act. That we would walk in the faith in which you have proven yourself time and time again, and that we would walk by that faith and not by sight. And Lord, as we look even more in your word now, continue to move in us. Lord, that someone else might get to see how good you are. And I give you the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. As you're being seated, the kids will be dismissed for power up. We're going back to Acts chapter 2. Looking at the rest of that passage there. Tell you what, when you are a Spirit-led community, it's exciting because you don't always know what's going to happen. You don't always know how it's going to turn out. Twists and turns keeps you on your toes. But I tell you what, when you know the Spirit is moving and you know that you are responding to Him, there is no other place that you can imagine yourself to be. Say, God, move. Do the work. As we are seeing in this passage, this summary passage here in verses 42 through 47 of chapter 2, we are seeing what God is doing amongst these believers and this new community, this new congregation, this new gathering that is started up, and what is happening and what happens when they are getting together. And we are seeing their actions. And remember, just as it started off, these actions are happening because of who they were. If we reverse that, if we try to do all this stuff so that we might be a believer, if we try to do all this stuff so we might find God's favor, listen, God said, I've already done this because I favor you. I've already sent my Son to the cross because I love you. And we are to be those in who we are as believers to see God continue to work. And when that happens and when we act out of who we are, this Spirit-led community comes about. These actions come about, and it's a lot more natural than trying to tape it on the outside. To try to tape on a prayer life on the outside. To tape on a devotion to the Word of God on the outside. If you aren't acting as a believer, if you aren't responding as who you are in Christ, sometimes it's like that. You're just trying to tape all this stuff on the outside. Oh, but when the Word of God and when He is working in your life, it springs from something on the inside. And it comes out through your life. So I want to look at now what is going on, the actions that is going on here in these refreshed people, these Spirit-led people. What are they doing? Verse 42, let's read the passage again. It says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, and to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who were who believed were together and had all things in common. and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. And this is just an exciting passage to see what's going on in this early church life and to see what's happening in this early congregation. The first thing that we see that's happening is they are persisting. They're being persistent. This is how we know there's women involved in the situation. Wait, sorry, let's keep going on. All right. They devoted themselves. The word here for devoted is that idea of persistence. It means to attach oneself to be faithful, to persist through the hard times. They devoted themselves. They were attaching themselves to. They were persisting in it. Not only do we see it here in verse 42 with this word devoted, but it's also used again in verse 46. Where it says, and day by day, attending the temple together. The word for attending is the same word as devoted. And what he's emphasizing in day by day is also a part of this emphasis. He's emphasizing the persisting, the attaching of themselves to it. They were committed. They were following through. They were continuing on. I know the word commitment is a bad word today. Unless you want a credit card. Unless you want to get that new car. Unless you want to get that thing that you want. We have no problem with commitment to that. But do we have the commitment to that which the Lord is calling us to be committed to? They were persisting. Again, because of who they were, it was coming out. They were persisting. They were attaching themselves to what? There are four things here that they attached themselves to. And we can see it designated because they each have the definite article, the. It's not just a, it's the definite articles. And here's the four things they're attaching themselves to the apostles' teaching. They were attaching themselves to instruction in the word. They were attaching themselves to the right biblical teaching. Too many people are attaching themselves to whatever teaching they want to hear. And folks, you can find all kinds of teachers on the web today. You can find any teacher and preacher that you want to hear on the web, on YouTube, on TikTok. You can find anything that's out there, but attach yourself to the right teaching. The apostles' teaching is a specific aspect that is showing us that they are attaching themselves to the ones who had walked with Christ, to the ones who were eyewitnesses to his authority, to the ones that Jesus said, I want you to go and make disciples and to baptize them, and I want you to teach them all things that I have commanded you. Attach yourself, persist in the right teaching. And sometimes that teaching doesn't make you feel good. Sometimes that teaching is trying to refine us to do what God is wanting us to do. They persisted in the apostles' teaching. They persisted in the fellowship. The word for fellowship means to have all things in common. It was a shared activity, and we're going to see how this fleshes out here in just a minute. But they had attached themselves and they were persisting in the fellowship. And part of that fellowship is you've got to gather. You've got to be with one another. You've got to be together. And they were doing that in multiple ideas. They persisted in the fellowship. And then the next thing, and this is the one I really like. They persisted in the breaking of bread. How many of y'all judge restaurants by the good bread that they have? All right. In our house, it's what has the good bread and what has the good queso. All right. And if you would ask Charlie, she's going to go for queso every single time you go out. when we see here, they attach themselves to the breaking of bread. This was the idea that they were having a time of fellowship and a time of community, that they were spending time together, eating together. They were living this life together. They were eating together in the breaking of bread. Some have thought that this could have an idea of also the Lord's Supper and the breaking of bread there. And it could have some tones, but it leans more towards a community fellowship and an eating together, because it's only one aspect. It's only one of the elements, the breaking of bread. And usually when this terminology is used, it's referring to a mealtime. Now, in their gatherings, they would have a mealtime, and then after the mealtime, they would celebrate the Lord's Supper. And that's one of the reasons why the Corinthians were getting it wrong, because they were emphasizing more the meal instead of having a separation from the meal to the Lord's Supper, and there was a lot of issues with it. But instead, they were persisting in the breaking of bread and in spending this life together. And then they were persisting in the prayers. They were persisting in the prayers. We have seen it already as they have been gathered in one accord in the upper room in chapter 1 and in chapter 2 as they were together. We're going to continue to see it in Acts chapter 4. You're going to see one of the most powerful prayer meetings that you would ever see. A prayer meeting that was so powerful, so meaningful that it shook the building. I mean, I know we have some earthquakes from time to time that are very small and minute in Texas, but I would love to see a Holy Spirit quake. I'd love to see a prayer meeting that began to shake us, that began to shake us to our core. So you know what we're going to do? We're going to start providing some more opportunities at this church for prayer. We're going to start providing some different things. And you know what? We're going to start, and it's just going to be open. There's not going to be a set schedule. There's not going to be a set, you got to do this, this, and this. We're going to open up the church and say, come, let's pray and let's get a hold of God and let's see His Spirit move in us. We're going to start it next Saturday. We're going to start it and we're going to open up early and leave it open. And this is, we're just starting somewhere. We're just doing it. It's just going to be impromptu. So from about 6 to 9 o'clock in the morning, next Saturday morning, the church building is going to be open. Is that the only time we're ever going to do it? No, because I know some of you like to sleep in on your Saturdays. Some of y'all get up at ungodly hours, Brad Griffin. But in all the midst of all of this, we want to persist in the prayers. And so we want to open up some opportunities to pray with letting the Spirit move. And let's pray not just to see our little things taken care of, but let's pray God big things that He would move in this church. Let's pray God big things that only He could answer. Let's pray the type of things, say, Lord, I want You to save this family member that's dealing with salvation. Lord, I want You to do a work in my coworker that I've been telling about Jesus over and over again. Let's persist in the prayers and let's call on Lord and say, Lord, open up the heavens and bring Your Spirit down in us. We're going to start it next Saturday morning, 6 to 9. Sanctuary is going to be open. Come if you want. They persisted. The second thing we see is they were contributing. Look down at verse 44. It says, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. This is the uncomfortable section of this summary for a lot of us. A lot of times we see this and we think, okay, I'm on board with all this, but what? They were selling their possessions. They were distributing. This kind of sounds like something I was told not to believe in. Well, let me explain what's happening here. Because this was a voluntary action. This was a movement of the Spirit. And this is what they were doing. They were contributing care to one another. They were selling their possessions and belongings. They were distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. So as this they were together. They had all these things in common. As the fellowship was growing, they were contributing to one another. They were not taking, they were giving. It was a voluntary action. You see, the word fellowship and the idea of fellowship is this idea of having all things in common. And what it meant is they were sharing together and walking through this life. They were contributing. A spirit-led community is going to contribute to people. It's going to care for people. Did they sell everything they had? No, because we know later on here, we're going to see they still had homes. In fact, they were still gathering from home to home. They were still going from different places. So if you're thinking, well, just tell me, I got to sell my home. We got to do this together. Are we going to have, you know, some Baptist encampment out here in Talty? What are you talking about? No, what he is showing in the pattern of what's going on in this early church is that they were contributing to the people. They were caring for people. You know what they were doing? When Christmas came about, and there was a group of kids that were going through a rough time. It was the kind of church that would contribute to some kids that needed some Christmas. They were contributing when a family's going through a tough time. And you know what? They just need some meals. And they started up a meal train. They had people sign up online. It's in somewhere. That's the kind of things that they were doing. They were contributing to the needs of one another. They had all things in common. In other words, they were invested in each other's lives to know, you know what, this person's going through a rough time. I can contribute to them. And you know what? It happens to all of us. And there are times when we all need that contribution. Where we need someone to care enough to contribute to our life. When we need someone to contribute to what's going on, it might mean a box of diapers. It might mean a meal. It might mean a gift card. It might mean some clothes for those where their houses have burned down. It might mean some common needs that they need for their house that's burnt down. Whatever it might be, we see this was a contributing body. When we get into a mentality that says, all I want to do is take from the body, all I want to do is take, hey, what am I going to get out of this church? What programs does it have for me? What this does it have for me? Is it going to suit me here? Is it going to suit me here? All of a sudden, everything is all focused on me instead of, hey, how can I contribute to the work of God? How can I contribute to the gospel going forth? How can I contribute to this community seeing how good God is? It's a contributing body of believers. They have gone from consuming to contributing to participating. This is a part of a maturing process. This is the fellowship, the having things common. I tell you what, a lot of you on Sundays after church, you go out to eat. You go somewhere to eat. What if one Sunday you invited someone new to go eat with them? What if one Sunday you invited someone that you haven't talked a lot to, say, hey, we're going out to eat. Would you like to come along with us? Hey, I hear you're going out to eat. Hey, let's go out to eat together. Hey, there's these barbecue sandwiches up here at Bucky's. And some of you have gone up there and had barbecue sandwiches at your car together. And I love it. But you know what? You share together. You have a lunch together. You commune. You know what? Sitting down at that table over a lunch with somebody, you get to know some different things about them. You get to know things that are on their hearts. You get to know maybe some struggles that they're working through. And they get to trust one another because you're sharing in these life together. One thing COVID did to us is it separated us. It isolated us. It put us in, hey, it's a scary thing to be 6 foot within somebody. Isn't it time that we start refreshing one another and contributing that kind of fellowship with one another? They were persisting. They were contributing. The next thing, they were worshiping. Verse 46. and day by day attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. Praising God. Here's what's going on. Day by day, they were attending the temple. I know you have it bad. We attend here once a week, right? Hopefully you realize we do have other services beyond Wednesday or Sunday morning. We also have Wednesday services. But they were attending day by day. In other words, they were going to the temple worship. They were going to that was continuing on at the temple. And at the temple, they were still going through a lot of the rituals. They were still going through a lot of the aspects and ritual religion of Judaism. So what were they doing? They were going to the temple and they were telling people about Jesus. Why? Because then day by day, the Lord added to their numbers. So they were going to the temple. Day by day, they were worshiping. And boy, we're going to see this in Acts chapter 3 as well, what happens in that. They were worshiping day by day. Let me tell you, when the Spirit is leading and when you are drawing close to the Lord, it's a lot easier to worship than when you are far from the Lord. Because when you're far from the Lord, sometimes the last thing you want to do is worship because you know, I got to get my life right. You have this feeling, I got to get my life right. Let me tell you something. Jesus has done the work and he wants you to come to him. He'll take care of getting the life right. You come to worship. He's worthy of it. Day by day, they were attending the temple together. And what? They were breaking bread in their homes. They must have had some good bread. They were breaking bread in their homes together. You see a hospitality that's going on. They were attending the temple. They're praising there. They're worshiping. They're going and spending time with one another in their different homes. And the hospitality is showing. And this is going to make a difference. But you see, their worship was not based on, do I feel like worshiping today? We don't always feel like worshiping. We don't always feel like everything's just right. You know what? Some of us even look at the weather report before it tells us if we can worship or not. Worship is not based on your feeling. Worship is based on the fact that he is worthy of it. He's done something in us. He's changed us. Jesus Christ died. He was buried. He rose again. And because of that, that which I couldn't do, all my rottenness, all my disgust, all my sins, all those things that are so wrong, he paid for it. And God said, here, it's paid for because the tomb is empty. And if that doesn't make us worship, you got your eyes on the wrong thing. Worshiping together. It wasn't about a feeling. It was a response. Why? Because they had glad and generous hearts. Glad and generous hearts. You ever met that person that's always happy and it's sickening? That they're always happy. No matter what's going on in their life. Well, I broke my toe today. Getting me all good. Right. Who are you? Why? Because worship is not about a feeling. When you are getting your heart right and when you're being led by the Spirit and when you're growing close to the Lord, let me tell you something. It doesn't matter if you broke your toe, been run over, or whatever, you still realize God's good. And he deserves my worship. It's not a feeling. They were persisting. They were contributing. They were worshiping. And then they were witnessing. In verse 47, we see that praising God, having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. You say, I don't really see that they were going out knocking door to door. And I don't see them having conversations with people in that verse. It doesn't say that. Well, let me tell you something. Our witnessing is not done under our power. Who added to their number day by day? The Lord. When we think of witnessing, so many times the stumbling blocks begin to pile up and I just can't do that. I can't talk to someone about it. I just get clammy and my palms start getting sweaty. You know how that is. Let them. There's Kleenexes. There's paper towels. You can wipe them off. Tell somebody about Jesus. If the Holy Spirit is opening the door, God is putting you into a place to show somebody Jesus. And it's a witnessing that includes being able to share the gospel with somebody. But it's a witnessing that was also happening day by day. Day by day, their life was saying, this is something important. I'm going to the temple day by day. Day by day, they were going from home to home, breaking breads, and they were seeing a hospitable group of believers. And they were seeing this in the lives of the people. They were seeing lives changed by the Holy Spirit. Use your life, your testimony, your life change as a witnessing tool. Let others see what Jesus means and how good he is through you. Don't be worried about all the logistics. He ironed out the logistics. Be open to saying, hey, my life's this way because Jesus is good. And this is what he's done for me. I was a sinner. I was in a wrong place in my life. I was in a tough place in my life. I was in a position where I realized that what I'm doing is not working. And finally, I came to Jesus and he did something in me. And we can show them Jesus. They were witnessing day by day, breaking bread in homes, all this worshiping. They were witnessing. And it's the Lord that brings the power to our witness. A Spirit-led community witnesses, not because it's about their power. They know it's the Holy Spirit that's going to do something. It's the Holy Spirit that's going to bring a change. It's the Holy Spirit that's going to lead you to that person that needs to know Christ as their Savior. The Holy Spirit's going to lead you to that person that has been searching scriptures and trying to put it together in their heart and life, and you can show them. The Holy Spirit's going to move. People are pointed to the gospel through the Spirit's leading. You know what? That's when we look at the Great Commission and it says, go into all the world. And we think that's such a big thing. Go. The word means as you're going. You are already going into this world. You work in this world. You buy groceries in this world, although some of you are probably using the online, let me order it and pull up. And then, you know, the person will load it into my car. You're still going to the world, witness to the boy that's bringing it to your car. We all go into this world. We all interact with other people in this world in some way, some fashion. It doesn't hurt in that process to be led by the Spirit when he prompts you. And sometimes that prompting is a real big light when that coworker comes up to you and says, hey, listen, how do you go through such hard times with grace and joy? Jesus, this is an opportunity. Use it. You know, this past week, I had lunch with a couple different church members. And been through those meals with those different church members, I saw two different times. One of them said, just before we were walking away from the cashier, hey, I just want you to know today that Jesus loves you. Bless my heart. Sitting at a breakfast and hearing someone say, hey, you know what? This is our favorite story of the Bible. What is your favorite story in the Bible? Talking to our waitress, and she began to explain a verse in Psalms that she took with her all the way from her childhood. And it didn't take any skin off of us just to say, hey, Jesus means something to me. A Spirit-led community is a witnessing community. You want to see some revival happen in this church? Let's start telling people about Jesus. We'll see it happen. We'll see the changes. They were persisting. They were contributing. They were worshiping. They were witnessing. All this was Spirit-led and moving of this new congregation, this new body of believers. the power amongst the people was being refreshed and people are seeing something's going on here. And the Lord is adding to their number day by day. We're going to see this continue on throughout the book of Acts. This theme that as they're led by the Spirit, as they are praying, as they are moving, as they are going in the Spirit's power, we are going to see more and more how the Lord multiplied their number, how the Lord brought people to people to come to know Christ as their Savior. We're going to see people being refreshed. And as we think about this theme, and that's why we've set it out for this year, we want to be a people that are refreshed so that we can be refreshing to the community that's around us. So that we can share the good news of the gospel through our life, through our words, through our action, our example, our testimony. So people might know how good He is. You see, the Spirit-led community refreshes relationships. It changes people. We see a difference among people. I mean, even in this passage, as you think about the persisting, the contributing, the worshiping, the witnessing, it was changing the people's relationship to God. How they were worshiping was changing. They were worshiping day by day. I'll tell you what, that's a good place to be in when you're worshiping day by day. It was changing their relationship to the Word of God. They were persisting in the apostles' teaching. They were devoted to the Word of God. They were devoted to learning and instruction. How much do we value instruction? The relationship to the Word of God changed. The relationship to each other was changing. They had a fellowship. They had that koinonia. They had that all things in common. They enjoyed being around each other. They enjoyed sharing life together. They enjoyed these aspects with each other. And then it changed their relationship to the world. Day by day, from the temple to their homes, they were showing people the goodness of the gospel and the change in this Jesus that they crucified, who's now, and they were eyewitnesses to His resurrection, to the life change in Him. The relationship to the world around them was changing. A Spirit-led community is going to refresh relationships. A people refreshed to be refreshing. If you look at it, it symbolizes and it pictures what Jesus said the greatest commandments were. What is the greatest commandment, Jesus? He said, "I shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind." Love God. And we see the deep relationship vertically with God. It changed the relationship with God. It changed the relationship to the Word of God. But then it also changed the relationship to each other. It changed the relationship to the world. And the second is like unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. The horizontal begins to change too. A Spirit-led community is going to see a deepening. They're going to see a closer relationship with the Lord. They're going to get to know God and who He is and His characteristics and what He's done. And they're going to grow in a love for God. And they're going to grow in their relationship with God. And they're going to grow in maturity with God. And it's going to show to others how good He is. You see, a lot of times we don't do this. We don't do the showing because we're not letting this lead us. The Spirit-led community refreshes relationships. And that's where you see verse 43. And awe came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were being done. Awe and wonder was the result. So that leaves us. Will we be Spirit-led? Will all these actions, the persisting, the contributing, the worshiping, the witnessing, will it happen because of who we are in Christ? Or are we going to let something else get in the way this morning? Shall we stand with our heads bowed? As we stand with our heads bowed. Every Sunday we have this opportunity right here. A call to response. This morning we're going to sing softly and tenderly. Sometimes the Spirit is calling softly and tenderly, and then there's sometimes in our life when the Spirit is saying, hey, with a bullhorn, get it right. Let's go. Let's do it. But if He's calling, we need to respond. And we need to respond today. This morning, if you don't know the goodness of that gospel and you're trying to do all these different things and you're trying to take care of all these things on your own power and you are missing that power and life change today, can I tell you that today is the day to come and respond to what Jesus has done, and let us show you how good God is through Jesus Christ. As we sing in the song and the call to response, I'll be right down here. And if you want to know that life change, step out. Say, I can't continue living this way anymore. I want that life. I'll meet you down here and I'd love to show you. Whether now or after the church, it's never closed to coming to the call of Jesus in your life. And if you're a believer today and you know the gospel and you know that you are in Christ, is that who you are dictating what you're doing? Are you persisting, contributing, worshiping, witnessing? Are you being led by that deep relationship to the Father through the Spirit so that you might show those wide what He's done for you? What is the Spirit moving in your heart, in your life, to get right today? Would someone be willing to say, hey, the Spirit's moving in me, and I'm going to come, and I'm going to get it right with Him this morning. That I'm going to be someone that's led by the Spirit. There's an altar here to pour it out to the Lord. To put an action behind what's going on in your heart. As we sing, this time of response is a time to let the Spirit move. Don't shut Him off. Our Father, we call to You today to work and do something among us. May we be a Spirit-led body. May we follow what You're doing in our hearts and lives today. May we show others how good You are. Work now as only You can. For it's in Your name I pray. Amen.